This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's Mike Shope.
Hey. Put a little... I never get this line out the first time. It's not even good. Hey. Put a little bit more in there, cowboy.
And the Bulldog.
What's your degree in?
Kicking ass and taking names.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Let's use yesterday's tactic. 1 to 10. You came in at a 0.5 to yesterday's question, by the way. I'm not sure that's allowed, but the Jets and Giants playing in New Jersey and...
How much do I care about the Bills being the only team from New York?
Yes.
Yeah, I said 0.5.
How really much do you care about that Amari Cooper was born on the day of the OJ chase? Less?
No, it's much more of a curiosity than
is it?
It's
a nugget.
It's an interesting little coincidence.
It's a factoid.
Yeah. So, I mean, imagine if he catches the winning touchdown in the Super Bowl and he's born. I don't know. It's really not that big a deal.
What if he does?
Let me recalibrate. 0.2, I care.
0.2.
0.2.
All right, I'm the same. I was going to say 0.2.
Okay.
How exciting. Super. How exciting. The game is ancient history for both teams last night. Devontae Adams to the Jets, Amari Cooper to the Bills. Third round pick. We'll see how it goes. I mean, I think these kinds of things, I tend to react this way, and then sometimes probably I should double back, but it's kind of amazing that you can just get somebody like this for a third-round pick. I mean, it's just like that easy. You got to make the money work. We've talked about him quite a bit, maybe as much as Adams recently.
I always liked him as an idea more than Adams. Well, I don't know that I want to phrase it exactly that. I just thought it was a way more realistic idea for the Bills and preferable. Like, his contract is definitively running out. There aren't, like, you know, years sitting on the end of it that may need to be adjusted, that the player might have some expectation that the new team is going to either honor or redo so that you've got, like, a longer-term commitment. Cooper is done. So the money makes way more sense. You know, we found out today that the Raiders did not eat any of that money on the Adams deal. The Bills would not have even had room for that. So I would think if they were in the running for Adams, the Raiders not keeping money would have been a deal breaker or would have cost the Bills way more to get them to eat some of that money. And I think Cooper is an excellent player. I mean, he's not Devontae Adams. He's not as famous as Devontae Adams. Hasn't been maybe as productive as Devontae Adams year over year over year. But he's had, what did you say the other day, 6,000-yard seasons in his career.
Yeah.
You know, he's, to me, a very good, I don't know if he's still a number one, but he's certainly enough of a number one on this team walking in the door. And to me, he's a big upgrade for them. So,
Seven, by the way.
What's that?
Seven.
1,000-yard seasons?
Yeah.
So I'm not saying he's a better acquisition than Davante Adams and that it's, you know, a no-brainer that he'll help the Bills more than Adams will help the Jets. We'll see about both of those. But I never really thought Adams made sense for the Bills. Just from a money standpoint, and Cooper seemed easy. And that the price is about the same, you know, in assets going out the door. I mean, I know Adams can end up costing the Jets a two if he is all pro or they make the Super Bowl or something. Is that what the qualifiers
the Jets?
Are? Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Or maybe it's
I'd throw that in.
I think it's maybe the conference championship game. It goes from a three to a two if they do that. Or he's all pro. First or second team, I think, is what that was. So
that's not going to happen either.
Probably not. I just love it's almost like you can look at the two organizations and the paths that they have been on here since the Jets cashed in their Sam Darnold ticket and ended up at, well, Zach Wilson was after Sam Darnold, for crying out loud. Sorry, I sort of skipped him and pivoted to Aaron Rodgers. It's like the biggest, flashiest, shiniest thing we can do, we're going to do it. Don't worry about cost. This is the guy Rodgers knows. This is the guy Rodgers wants. And look, maybe that'll work for them. But there's a desperation there. Well, the Bills just sort of over here. They're in the right lane. They got a blinker on that they shouldn't have on. And like the Jets are zooming past them in the left lane. We got Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers. And the Bills are over here going, eh, it's all right. Amari Cooper's good. We'll be fine. We're not overextending ourselves. I love it. I love it for the Bills. It's exactly what it's the guy I wanted. So I'm thrilled with the move. And again, not saying I didn't want Davante Adams. I just did not think there was a fit financially for them.
I mean, I don't even know if it was ever realistic financially or
right.
Like if Adams just had to go to his boy, whatever. This is very smooth work, Cooper. And the thing for me, whether it's Cooper or Davante Adams or anyone else, has always been kind of the referendum on how the Bills felt it was going or, you know, really what they were thinking about what they had. And after week four, when they lost to the Ravens, after week three, there was no conversation. They were perfect. After week four, when they lost to the Ravens, like, you want to talk about this? Because really, nobody's eating that much. And so should there be a conversation about adding somebody? And I didn't think there would be over there, you know, other than maybe like on a cursory level, because it would be an indictment on, I think at the time, and we can still debate this, on kind of what they thought they had built after they lost one game. You know, you're still probably okay here. Then they lose to Houston and complete 9 passes in the game. And I thought last week, okay, this is on the table.
Mm-hmm.
I think with 2 losses and that performance, It should be right that they are looking at options in the trade market. And then last night ends up as a win, which is pretty much all that mattered. I mean, last night was not a perfect night, but all that mattered was winning that game, the separation in the standings and everything that was important about that. And I would still say that last night's game was one where I would still want to, I mean, this is what I was preparing to say all day.
100%.
Like, be open to a move. And so Adams gets traded, and I was thinking we would talk about, like, what is the Bills' chess move in this?
And it was made before we got in the door.
It was made before, like, if they even needed one. And I don't know, like, not everybody will tell you that this is something that they needed to do. But I don't really think that's the point. Need is not the point. Can do.
Want.
You can do this.
Right.
And so you're giving yourself, I mean, there are injuries all over the place in this league. And right now the Bills do not have, I mean, maybe Shakir, I guess, but even with him, somebody that they can't afford to lose in the passing game. So it's not like that. But adding Amari Cooper scrambles it all up. We'll talk to Sal and Eric Wood and Ross Tucker and get their views each on what they think this, especially Sal, I think right away, on what they think this will look like. I don't know if it moves in on Hollins so much or on Coleman. I don't care yet. I just know that this obviously makes them better for a third round pick. This is what a team in the Bills position should do every year. for somebody.
Sure. They did it last year. They had a real, real need last year. Not as much this year because of injury, but last year Tre'Davious White goes down week four, and by the trade deadline they're acquiring Rasul Douglas, and that worked out great. Yeah, I mostly like that. I mean, don't we all like when what the team ends up doing sort of lines up with what you might have been thinking all along? I think the timeline you laid out there after week three, remember you asked me the question directly, maybe the Monday or the Tuesday after the Baltimore game, like, do they need to do something here? I was like, yeah, bad matchup, one off, let's wait. I've got time until the trade deadline. And they've played two more games since then where, you know, the passing game was not a problem last night per se. Like, it didn't get them beat. But, like, missed throws and stuff, like, maybe you could argue the Houston game, Allen hits a couple of throws in that game that were there for him, and maybe they win that game. This game, they won it anyway. Passing game made enough plays, but a lot of it, maybe even most of it, was Allen under duress, you know, just running around. The existence of a, you know, take the shotgun snap, couple of steps, ball out, passing game, I don't feel like we've seen that with any kind of consistency, any kind of regularity that you can count on since the Jacksonville game. It's been three games of just kind of, you know, it's just you can get by because Allen is so talented. I mean, 50 yards downfield of Ray Davis or whatever while rolling out. I mean, it's insanity, some of the stuff he can pull off, but that is not how you want to live. So Cooper, yeah, I don't know how the pecking order changes, but he outranks everybody in that room walking in the door. I don't know how soon they'll treat him that way from a target share or snap share standpoint, but, I mean, there's nobody even close to him on this roster right now from an accomplishment standpoint.
I think they really need, well, again, need. What they probably want from him is to get down the field. Like, there's still really nothing happening too consequential down the field. Kincaid isn't happening like that. They're not even really using him so much like that. Last week's game, if it didn't plant the seed for this, it could have. I mean, it might, probably already had been discussed. But last week's game, when they're throwing constantly outside the numbers, ineffectively, all day, like, this is where you just need somebody better. It was the Houston game where we all came away going, yeah, these guys are not good enough. Can't get open. It's just not there, you know, and Josh Allen should and obviously does have a lot of say in all this stuff, and he probably would have said that too. I mean, he's also to blame for that to a point, but I think it's the Texans game that revealed, okay, we thought this might happen, and it is happening, that Coleman, Samuel, Mac Hollins, MVS is just not going to get us there. So what can we do now? And Cooper was a fine idea. I mean, he's been in the league a long time. He's been productive for most of his career. He's probably still good. I mean, we'll see. Like, this year, it's really hard to tell, I think, with the Browns.
Yeah.
Because Watson has been so bad. And
the best I can do is some people I know who are Browns fans are telling me he's been open all the time. But, you know, that's just fans watching the game. Not to say that that's wrong. But one thing that I think backs that up is, and this is not a measurable I've ever really thought about or been familiar with, but he leads the league, Cooper does, in something called unrealized air yards.
Yeah.
In other words, it's you know, yards that are available to your quarterback to hit this receiver. He's open, but either he's targeted and the ball is off target, or he just doesn't get the ball thrown his way at all. So, you know, that's one indicator that he's been doing, you know, his job to an extent, and not getting the ball because their quarterback play is so flawed. He is also, you know, he's had a reputation for drops through his career. So you're going to have to live through some of that, I think, probably. But we knew that last week. That came up, I think, at one point last week or the week before, that he's had this tendency, and especially this year even. But that would not have stopped me from making the trade. You know, you mentioned Deontay Johnson at one point last week,
I think.
And he's a guy that's had that reputation too. But, you know, to me, go give me a talented guy. And, yeah, sure, I may have some headaches, but this team needed an infusion, and they got it. And I don't know, you know, when they realized they needed it. Maybe it was the Houston game. Maybe it was a third game where their passing game really hinged on Allen creating out of structure. I would still say that was the case largely last night. It also might be something that they knew the minute they traded Stephon Diggs and just were not able to make anything happen. You know, cost prohibitive. And so it's possible all along the idea was, all right, look, this is not really ideal, but it's where we are. Let's see how it goes, and then we can pivot by the trade deadline, and they beat the deadline by 3 weeks.
This came up last week maybe at some point. For as many hours as we've put in, maybe it's 10,000 by now, hours on just like wide receiver with the Bills over the last couple of years and obviously this year. Just the idea, waiting for that next shoe to drop at receiver after Diggs was traded, which was when? March?
I think April.
April. And so it never did. And yeah, I brought this up last week. Like, who knows if Bean the whole time hasn't been sort of planning on some move like this. I mean, unless it goes perfectly. And it hasn't.
Right.
So that's right. And I think you said to that point, sure, because he's not going to tell you that. I mean, all the time they spend on everybody eats and like this is better, they're not. The GM is not going to tell you that
I really need a receiver, right? Yeah, there was just no way. Of course they were going to talk up the everybody eats idea.
But Bean is just my style. I mean, this is like other moves he's made before. Just the willingness to make a trade. I think it should be sort of the obvious realization that your third round pick next year, just like with Douglas last year, is just not it. You know, when you're this close. And with each year that they lose, it's just even more important to think like that, I think. You know, the Chiefs with the Tyreek Hill trade, we went over it. Like, they can sort of afford it because they had won already. And I know every year is different. The rings are all the same. And, you know, it doesn't have to be thought of like that. But even without that point, this is what a team in the Bills' position obviously should do. And so, I mean, you can debate the player, and we'll see about his role. I mean, Douglas last year, of course, went right in and made a difference right away, and he's still here. Like, that's valuable. I wonder if the Bills will extend Cooper. Like, he's up after this year, and a lot of these guys, like, this happens, and there's a contract that comes with it, but do they have to do that? They might. They might think they do.
I think it depends on what, you know, what the player has made known. What, you know, of course the player would always like security. But I don't know. I would hope that there isn't, at least not right now, because I don't know for sure what I'm getting. I don't know how it will fit. I mean, we've seen over the years plenty of examples. I can't think of one off the top of my head right now where a proven receiver goes to a new team with a new quarterback and the fit just isn't there. Their chemistry doesn't flow. It just doesn't work. Maybe this is a little bit. I mean, Garrett Wilson's putting up numbers, but maybe it's even a little bit of Rodgers and Garrett Wilson. Like, they're not synced up. It's part of the reasons the Jets wanted to make the deal for Devontae Adams. Like, let's go get a guy that our guy really knows and really trusts. So I wouldn't want to, sight unseen, just commit to Amari Cooper for, you know, 2 more years or 3 more years or whatever it is. Part of the appeal of this acquisition to me was that he doesn't cost much, and there's no entanglements. Now, if they made the deal, and this can happen, certainly, with the idea in mind that a contract will be done in order to satisfy him, and we find that out in a few hours, I'm going to like this whole thing a lot less. Like, I'm still going to enjoy this player for this year, but I like a lot that they're not tied up in him.
Well, I think I will. I want to say that I think they'll do it. And I don't know I wouldn't know the numbers, and I'm not sure, you know, what that could be, but I want to say that I think I'll be okay with it, because I think this is just kind of like how business is done in these situations in the league. Like, we want you, you're disgruntled, He was disgruntled, right?
Sure.
You're gruntled. You're generally a gruntled guy. You know disgruntled when you see it.
Sure do.
And, you know, Cooper even had a couple of cheeky, at least one sort of cheeky social media posts about, like, wanting out or something. Mm-hmm. Like, who wouldn't want out of there? So, you know, here is us showing you our love. We believe in you. We want you, not just for this season, you know, we'll try to get you a ring, but also, like, you know, a commitment.
Well, I respect that you'd be okay with that. I think the appeal of A, springing him out of jail, and B, giving him the opportunity to put up numbers on a contending level team as he rolls into free agency, even at the age of 30, that's a win for Cooper already. You know, like if he's buried there on the Browns, who knows what they're going to do. They're certainly not in playoff contention. The only interesting thing left about them is when or if they ever bench their quarterback. And he comes here to a division-leading team. I mean, that's enough of a selling point. Like, if he wanted to push for a contract or the agent brings it up, if I'm Bean, I'm just telling the agent, yeah, you know, we think we're giving him a pretty good opportunity here. And, you know, it's a little bit of sing for your supper type of vibes, but I'm all right with that. Like, to me, the Bills are appealing enough with this quarterback that I shouldn't have to do what the Bills did for LeSean McCoy back in 2015
to get him to come like that. Here. No, so, it shouldn't be like that.
I already said it. Like, I hope that doesn't happen. Because the big appeal to me was that I'm not invested, really. I've got him, and then it's fly be free.
It can also be said, like, that they're really nowhere at receiver next year either. Like, Shakir is young and Coleman is young, but it's not like they have somebody. I mean, that would obviously be the case with how it is now, but there's no money being spent there, right? I mean, there's just no money being spent there. So I think they could justify it, but we'll see. I wonder about McDermott here. And this, what I'm about to say is definitely not what it is, but that Hail Mary, like, I figured today we would just be talking about that all day.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm McDermott at this point, I'm like, oh, can I ever get it right, you know, with this stuff? Like, I've got my DNs at the sidelines, and shouldn't I be able to, it kind of made sense to me. Like, shouldn't I be able to break up that pass? Shouldn't,
I mean,
I outnumber them. Can't I just knock down a Hail Mary this time?
Right.
And not have anybody, like, upset?
That,
and he's just, somewhere he's, like, his head is in his hands.
Yeah.
It's like, can I just win one of these, please? Enough with how I'm running when it comes to this sort of these isolated defensive plays. And Cooper, for him, is a great result today. And for Bass, maybe. Because, like, there's that too.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, just poor McDermott. Like,
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
Makes sense here. Can I just have my, I got the timeout again. It's always the timeout. Yeah. Can I just knock the pass down, please? And the play is called incomplete. And he's like, whoo, oh no.
Right? Here comes the other ref.
Oh no.
Here comes the other
You
guy.
Gotta be kidding me.
Right.
Or that was me talking, at least,
yeah.
If not him.
Yeah.
Well, they got
home. Yeah, I mean, I can certainly understand wanting to protect the sideline in that situation. But can you not do that with the seven guys that end up in the end zone anyways? Like I get tactically because the Jets didn't have to throw it to the end zone. They could have tried to throw a quick out and get out of bounds and try to kick a 50-yard field goal. So you're trying to guard against that. But you're telling me like one of the DBs couldn't just be where they were once they realized be where the defensive ends were, I'm talking about. If you don't know, Epinesa and Rousseau were like 20 yards beyond the line of scrimmage at the sidelines guarding that. Maybe not 20, but they were way off the line of scrimmage. One of the DBs couldn't run with the receivers, and they're all going to the end zone, and then just all go to the end zone and have four guys rushing the passer because that took forever to get the ball out, and somebody would have absolutely gotten home in that time. Maybe even prevented the whole throw. So I just tactically, I'm struggling. Like, I understand wanting to protect what they protected. I'm just not sure about the usage of the personnel to do so.
Well, it's funny now.
Sure.
It's funny.
Ha ha.
Is it Buffalo Football Monday?
I think so.
Football Monday on this Tuesday is brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Sal Capaccio next on the Cooper trade and the game. Eric Wood on these Mondays that are on Tuesday sometimes at 4, and Ross Tucker, because it's Tuesday, so Ross Tucker at 5. Let's go. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog, thanks for listening. Sal next. This is WGR.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Bills go to 4-2, take a 1.5-game lead in the division en route to a, hopefully for them, fifth straight AFC East title, with a kind of wild, fun, interesting
awful
win. Awful. At win at the Jets, 23-20.
The officiating in that game was so hard to live with that I legitimately felt like if I didn't have to talk about this football team for a living, I would have turned that game off. I just couldn't stand it anymore. I really was just I can't like rip the TV off the wall, frustrated with the number of flags that we're getting.
You and I should have a conversation.
It
shouldn't be that bad.
I would have turned it off.
Anyway, whatever you want to say about the game, it's ancient history. Because the Bills have traded for Amari Cooper. Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. Sal, let's start there. This trade, let's hear your thoughts on the deal, the timing, and the value of the Bills getting this player right now.
Well, I think the timing's interesting given what happened this morning with the New York Jets. Devontae Adams gets traded to the Jets for a third-round pick, which can become a second. It's going to probably be a third unless the Jets get to the AFC Championship game or Super Bowl. In that deal, the Jets had to take on all of his salary, which was $11-plus million. We knew the Bills couldn't handle that for any Devontae Adams trade. Were they waiting it out to see... could they work something out? Could the Raiders eat cap space, restructure the salary, send him to Buffalo? And maybe Brandon Bean was waiting that out. I don't know this, but I'm just guessing it's possible. He could have said, I'm going to wait that out, see if that's the case. And once that did not come to fruition, you pivot and you already have some structure of a deal maybe in place for Amari Cooper, because obviously it happened, just a few hours later. So that's the timing of the deal. Also the timing of what's happened really on the field with this team, right? Through three games, everything looked great. The last three games, it just hasn't. Even last night, guys, I mean, you got to get more production out of your wide receivers. They had 12 targets, only 9 catches. Your leading wide receiver had 3 catches, only 4 targets. You have to do better than that. You have to find a way to be able to diversify this offense, to give guys a little bit more of an opportunity, give Josh Allen a little bit more of an opportunity. You have a look at it. We've talked about this. The AFC East is there. They have a stranglehold on this division right now, and they have a serious look at being in one of the top 2 or 3 spots of the AFC, playoff picture. It's all right there in front of them. So this is what you do in that situation, and that's why I think Brandon Bean made the move now.
Where do you think Cooper how soon is it realistic to expect him to have an impact? And does he immediately become, he's the most accomplished receiver on this team, and it's not even really close. Like, does he walk in the door, and is he the number one guy on this team just like that?
I don't think it's that easy, Bulldog. I think that, there's always a bit of an acclimation period with any of these things, right? A guy comes in, it'll take some time, especially offensively, play-wise, get on the same page as your quarterback. I mean, how much have we talked about even Josh Allen not having, having so many different parts to work with and different receivers, and even that chemistry kind of taking time to shape. What are you going to do? If you're going to have Amari Cooper come in, you have to have make an impact right away. It's got to be a pared down playbook. It's got to be things he's familiar with. It's got to be, maybe a certain snap pitch count until you're kind of really ready for that. Now, let's see how quickly that can happen. One thing I did learn over the last hour is even though there has been an agreed to terms, the paperwork is not yet filed official with the league. The trade isn't official yet. Once that happens, the Bills have to make a roster move. Do they release one of their current wide receivers? I would guess, MVS would be, the first one you'd get to there. It's not going to be Shakir, Coleman, Samuel, or Hollins. That would be something that you could look at. And then while that's happening, I think that's also a thing you have to think about here, which is he impactful enough right away to just roll with 5 receivers and him being one of them? Or do you have to give it some time here and you got to keep the 6 on your team? You could also have elevations. You could do it that way too. So you don't have to go that route. But I just think there's a lot here that you have to kind of make sure you mix in. And look, this is different than the Russell Douglas trade. They're doing this 3 weeks earlier than that. So you do have a little time here. If you wait till the trade deadline, now you're waiting even longer to get them up to speed on everything. At least you have a little bit of a grace period before that. It's only been 6 games. We're not even halfway to the season yet. So at least you have that.
I think maybe on that point, Sal, my read is the Jets simply set the market. And you wanted him. Wanted somebody. You talked about this player with Cleveland. You knew he was available. Cleveland just continues to find new lows with their season, their franchise. And why not? You get that many more games out of him. So I think, sometimes with the trade deadline in any sport, even in fantasy football, it can be, what is the market price? Like, who sets that? And the Jets, probably somewhat out of desperation or frustration, like, all right, let's go. We lost again. Let's go. And so third round for Adams, conditional. I think that made it probably pretty easy for the Bills to just sort of pull the trigger.
Yeah. Now, we're scheduled to hear from Sean McDermott at 5 p.m. today, guys. I'm just looking as I'm on with you to see if there's anything that's come across. I'm not told that we're going to hear anything from Brandon Bean today. That could happen. Like I said, it's not official yet, so they probably wouldn't trot him out there yet until all, you got physicals and all that kind of stuff you probably have to take care of. But that's a good question to ask Brandon Bean, right, when we ultimately do, which is, when did this start? And I'm sure that'll be one of the first questions. When did this start? I'm interested to know, was there a framework in place where he kind of pivoted there? Is this something, this is a target of theirs all along? Because it's also possible that they just knew, we're not going to be able to get at Davante Adams. We know the Raiders aren't going to eat salary, so what's our next best option? And then you go to what you just said, Mike, which is, all right, let's see what Davante Adams goes for, see if he's eventually going to go to the Jets. And what happens if the Jets don't make that trade today? Do the Bills make that trade for Amari Cooper today? Right? Like, well, what is the timeline and the ripple effect here about how all this went down? I mean, I remember when Brandon Bean first got here and he made the trades in one day, Sammy Watkins and Ron Darby, and in comes, you know, E.J. Gaines and Jordan Matthews and those draft picks. And I remember him talking to us in the media about how he had deals in place with both, but he couldn't tell them, right? Because he needed to kind of make sure everything was happening the right way for him to intertwine it all.
Well,
and I'm guessing that could be what happened here.
He did the same thing with Brown and Beasley in free agency.
Exactly right.
He's
right.
Like, they signed them on the same day, like minutes apart, and didn't want to talk to the other.
Yeah, didn't want Beasley to know about Brown and Brown to know about Beasley.
Right.
Right.
Well, I don't know. Like, the question I would want to ask Bean, the number one question I want to ask him is not something I think I would get the full answer to in public, but it's just, okay, everything that's happened this offseason, all the countless hours WGR has spent on wide receiver and everybody else, just sort of wondering, like, I remember shows I did alone in the summer, you know, does Bean really like where he's at? I mean, they traded Diggs and he probably felt like he had to do it, but does he really like where he's at? Is it really the case that it's better to have what Allen said, that nobody cares about stats? I mean, is that different now? Just, you never really know, because publicly, they're always going to represent that they are. But privately, maybe not. And we've always wondered, Sal, this whole summer, like, has he been close to another move? Has Brandon Bean, would he have guessed all summer that one way or another, he probably was going to end up here, whether it's Amari Cooper or Diontae Johnson or someone else, that his room was just not it. And, you know, I've got the extra second. I can do this later. And let's just see what happens. And I think last week's game was the game, and last night was not that much better, where he goes, yep, you know, we probably have to do something.
I totally could subscribe to that. I would guess that's the same thing. I don't think you'll necessarily get a truthful answer publicly, like you said. but to me, it feels like, hey, we have Josh Allen, and we like the guys we have, but we need to see how it works. And if it's not going right, we have to be ready to make a deal. But let's remember, the financials of this were always going to be a hindrance to anything you did. So then you start poking around and going, okay, there's Amari Cooper, who's all his money's taken care of. And, I mean, we haven't even talked about the fact that the Bills only have to pay him $800,000, guys.
Right.
That's it for the rest of the season. That's all it goes on your cap charge versus $11 million that the Jets are paying to the Raiders. You know, you talk about Diontae Johnson, who wouldn't have been that much, and Cortland Sutton would be in a more similar situation than Amari Cooper. But I think that's how you land somewhere like today.
Right. So what I'm wondering, maybe you know or have an inkling from conversations you've already had since this happened, or maybe you're just going to be guessing like I am. What do you think? One of the biggest appeals to this move to me, Sal, even going back a couple of weeks when we were talking about Adams versus Cooper and what's a better idea, the contract and no entanglement. Like, really, Cooper is a free agent after this year, and I like that a lot for the Bills, but we've already talked about in the first segment of our show, like, does he come here with an expectation to get some, you know, reworked extension or something, or would you expect the Bills to just be able to just use him for the next few months and then make a decision on that one way or the other?
I would expect the Bills to just see how this goes, and then they'll revisit this if and when they need to. I mean, they're already planning, you know, what they have for 2025. A lot of this year was set up to kind of give them a little bit of flexibility, but I think that this move does not have to come with a price of, we got to pay this guy. I mean, you know, the Browns traded him. To my knowledge, there's no sort of him, you know, it's not like the NHL where you have a no trade clause and you can put your teams on it, things like that. This is, hey, he's getting traded here and we're going to, you know, I haven't heard anything or seen anything, and I don't expect anything to come out of where Amari Cooper's not reporting to Buffalo unless, you know, he gets some sort of new deal. I'd be pretty stunned at that. I think this is more of a rental for now. We're renting with the option to possibly see if we're interested in buying later and if both sides agree to that.
Do you have an opinion on the player, Sal? Of course you do. We haven't really talked about that yet. It's been a difficult year, and that might be nice. Nice way to say it for him and his team. And there's going to be both. There's going to be plenty of blame Watson because he's blamed for everything, and it's probably right. But also, like, Cooper has not had a good season anyway. So I don't know. Like, he's been traded three times. There are drops here. Are we okay? Like, how is this player for you?
You know, I remember a few months ago, you guys were even talking about how this guy actually has put up a lot of numbers that we haven't kind of really, they've kind of gone under the radar in his career, all the numbers he's put up, right? We always know he's a good receiver, but if you look at the numbers he's put up, you know, he has
seven 1,000-yard seasons.
Yeah. Including 1,250 2 years ago, 1,160 a year before that. He's just turned 30 years old. He's not going to be 31 until next offseason. You know, he's had some pretty monster years in the NFL, and that hasn't come with a lot of winning necessarily. Maybe that's partly part of the reason why, going to the Raiders, the Cowboys, and now to the Cleveland Browns. So I like him as a player as far as the numbers he's put up and the production he's had. There have been some drop issues, there's no doubt. You're going to have to probably live with that. There could be one or two that happened this year, and then, you know, people can, you know, debate, you know, the merits of all that. But I'm looking at, you know, what he's done in his career and how kind of under the radar he's been as a really productive receiver. He is top 10 in active receiving yards in the NFL right now. He's top 10 in active receiving touchdowns in the NFL right now. Now, he has played quite a few years, so maybe that's not necessarily, you know, super surprising to anyone.
It's good. No,
but
it's
he's
good.
Been really what's that?
I think it's good. I'm just saying, yeah. I think it's good.
And by the way, last year he cost me my fantasy championship because he broke like the record in that one game. Who are they playing? The Texans maybe that day or something?
Yes, like in these tournaments, it's unforgettable. Like Cooper had with Flacco, this insane game in Houston where if you didn't have him, you were dead.
Oh yeah, like franchise record for yards.
Just huge. And then he missed the next week. They played the Jets on Thursday night the next week, and he had an injury and didn't play. So that was Amari Cooper. And this happens, you know, I'm not going to pretend it doesn't. Like, he is what we call a tough click for me in drafts, Amari Cooper, because I cannot get one image out of my head. And I flatter myself to think, Bulldog, you may remember it. But when he played for Dallas, after he'd been traded by the Raiders to the Cowboys, there was a game in Foxborough. And he had his hands in that, like, that sleeve on the front of your jersey to keep warm. It was like a late season game, the whole game. And I just looked at Amari Cooper. I'm like, I've never seen anybody look colder than he looks right now on this field. Like, I don't even know if he took his arms out to try to catch a pass or whatever that was. Not fair, but that was my impression of Amari Cooper watching him on that.
Well, can I just throw a couple stats at you guys real quick?
Sure.
He's less than 300 yards away from 10,000 in his career. So we'll assume here he's going to get to 10,000 receiving yards at some point in a Buffalo Bills uniform. But how about this? He's had four 200-yard receiving games in his NFL career, four of them. The NFL record is five from Calvin Johnson and Lance Allworth.
Yeah. I mean, he's been kind of boom or bust.
I'll tell you what jumps out at me. Well, one thing that jumps out at me, looking at his just overall numbers, long reception of the year every year, like that. His stat page is 68 yards, 87 yards, 90 yards. But
yes,
like there's big 75 yards. There are big plays in there, and you know, sure, this year it hasn't happened, but last year was one of the 75s. Like he is someone who I don't think of as like a field stretcher necessarily. He wasn't super elite fast coming out in the draft. I think 4.4s, something like that.
Yep.
So.
That's right.
But I feel like this is just a very good to great all-around receiver is what I think the Bills acquired today.
Yeah, so I think this is a needed move by the Bills. I think it's the right move. I guess time will tell if it turns out to be the most productive move for them and what they, you know, how it works out in the field. But I don't I guess I don't know how anybody can sit back today, even the most pessimistic Bills fan. You really have to work hard today to say, I can't believe the Bills did this. What a horrible move. Like, you just really have to work hard. I mean, this is a really good player in the league. They gave up a third round pick, and oh, by the way, they got a pick back. They have a third and a seventh, and they got a sixth back, actually. And look at where they are right now, record-wise, division-wise, conference-wise, and what the team has looked like on the field at wide receiver. So I just think you have to work really hard to say that, you know, for some reason you don't like this for the Buffalo Bills or Brandon Bean did something wrong here. The financials are just incredible to land a player like this at this time and only have to pay him less than $1 million for the rest of the year.
Right on. Agree. Sal, thanks.
You got it.
It's our man Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Fourth team now for Amari Cooper. No revenge games, though, on the schedule. Bills don't play
any
Vegas,
yeah.
Dallas, or Cleveland here until the playoffs.
Until the playoffs. Thank you.
Yeah.
You beat me to it.
Super Bowl, maybe. I don't know. None of those teams is looking good. Well, this is why the guy gets traded.
Right.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with Eric Wood coming up at 4. This is WGR. Contest time. Callers 5 and 6 right now at 716-221-4WGR. That's 4947. Each win a pair of tickets to see Disturbed with special guests Daughtry and Nothing More at KeyBank Center on Friday, April 4th, 2025, courtesy of Live Nation. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. Reverse AFC Power Rankings will be tomorrow. They were going to be anyway.
That's absolutely the rule. Yeah. I think we sorted that out after the Jacksonville game. Like, that's, I don't think we've ever done them the day after a Bills game.
I don't know.
So
it's, some of these games can be so boring, I guess, that maybe we would do it. But that'll be tomorrow. No Trista today either. But we'll have Eric Wood next and Ross Tucker. Just quickly, Ray Davis was fine. Right? Is he an All-Pro? I mean, I'm just asking if Ray Davis maybe is going to be an All-Pro.
Man, more than fine. Like, that was every last yard, every last foot that guy was driving for. A thing that has kind of driven me a little nuts about Cook that I've been reluctant to even bring up, because it's not something I'm tracking, but I feel like, and maybe there's a lot of fans that I'll have a lot of company here, but again, we're not, you know, I'm not charting plays. I just feel like Cook leaves you a yard short of the first down frequently. Like, he's not as hard to bring down as some. Davis is just going to get that little bit more. And I really loved watching him come through like that last night.
I was so excited, though, 9-1 to score a touchdown from early in the day.
I know.
And then twice at the one, and he never gets there.
Right.
That was hard, but I like the player a lot. Eric Wood after sports here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.